Welcome everyone to this week's weekly market update, July 30th, about 4 hours post equity market open, 3 hours pre equity market close with myself and Carl. How are you?
I am doing just swell today, Scott. Yourself?
I'm doing well. If you noticed, that was a very complicated way of saying it is noon Central time. So let's go ahead and jump into the markets, shall we? So we have an S&P over the last 5 trading days since last podcast day, basically flat, but I guess you would say up about 0.25%. NASDAQ down about 0.25%. Dow up close to 1%. Russell down about 0.25%. The biggest story being in crude oil prices down nearly 9% over the last 5 days. So obviously, that plays a role in just about everything that we're going to talk about today, but that's obviously a positive thing for equity markets. And obviously, we've had a big week this week as well when it comes to the Federal Reserve and that sort of thing. But before we jump into that, Carl, I wanted to talk about a stat that I think is going to lead us into one of the topics that I know we needed to cover, which is earnings, primarily in the tech space. Has really had our focus. But this I found interesting. Now, this was as of last week, and then we're going to jump into what it looks like as of this week, right? So as of last week, almost every single company in the S&P that reported earnings beat their estimates, right? So that's really strong. 83% beat their sales estimates. So what does that tell us? That tells us that obviously there's consumer spending happening right now, which is great for the economy and in turn great for the markets. And 15 of those companies actually raised their guidance, whereas only one lowered it. So that's a really strong statistic when it comes to the health of the overall economy and marketplace. However, Carl, let's fast forward to this week because things have changed a bit.
Oh, ever so slightly, but we have earnings that came through. Yesterday, we had Meta and Microsoft, right? Two of the higher weighted stocks inside of the S&P as well as the NASDAQ, and very different earnings reports that came through. Meta, who is one of the few leading the charge in the AI space, missed earnings completely. They did not really get all that close. They were supposed to get $7.22 per share. They got $6 a share. So that may not sound like much, but when it comes to earnings projections, typically earnings projections are within a couple of cents. They pretty much can get that good of a gauge. This was off 15-ish percent. And so now you're seeing that sell-off happening, and Meta's down 9% today. And that comes to wonder, okay, so what happened? What happened Meta-wise? Your sales did fine, but what's going on? Well, it's that CapEx spending. It's that AI CapEx spending. They're putting so much money into building these out that they end up dipping into their earnings to be able to continue either paying off the loans that they took out in order to build something quickly or dipping into their cash reserves. And we're seeing that in real time now. And then you flip it. Let's go to the other side. Then you have Microsoft. The Microsoft has been one of the few stocks that has been not doing well the entire year because they came out in January and said, we're going to spend a lot of money up front. And they did. And Microsoft was down upwards of 25, 30% on the year. And they came out and they did really, really well on their earnings. And they were off by 50 cents. To the positive side, they beat their earning projection by 50 cents, which is another 10% surprise, but to the upper side. And they're up 16% today as of recording this. So you can see how big of a play that earnings can have, specifically when we're talking about the debt structure inside of the earnings. Meta needed to take out debt to be able to continue building. Microsoft already took out their debt. Now they're paying off their debt. And now they're beating their earnings. You can see just by the timing and the shifting of it, what earnings do inside the market and inside individual stocks?
Yeah, and a couple things on that front. So that's what makes Microsoft attractive to me. It's the same reason why I've always, well, we talked about it last week, why I'm so big on Apple. Like the quicker, like the race to reduce debt, the better long term that holding is, right? I mean, you got to have a long-term perspective on something like that. But both Apple and Microsoft, well, Apple's already there, but Microsoft getting there, being able to expand operations via cash versus debt, especially in today's interest rate environment, which we'll go over in a minute. Long term, that is such a huge positive for the stock itself. So that's in terms of Microsoft and Apple. But I wanted to mention something also on Meta. So I agree with you. It sounds like, I guess on the surface, like a dollar per share miss. What it doesn't sound like a lot. However, one also has to remember that it is a lot when your market cap is 1.3 trillion. So it's a big deal. So that's a big reason as to why we don't own Meta at the moment in our, you know, in our traditional models. So speaking of debt, that obviously has a direct correlation as to interest rates. And before we get into that, one thing I wanted to remind the listeners of is what we talked about last week. Remember, we talked about last week how this week was going to be big because of the Federal Reserve. And if you remember, we said this was going to be the type of event where we travel, we cover a lot of ground to go nowhere, basically. We travel a lot to end up in the same place. And that's exactly what has happened. It was a flush to the downside yesterday, just to be recovered almost point for point so far today. And that's what we like to call an equal and opposite, equal amount, but in the opposite directions. And so with that, I think that's a good opportunity to hop on over into Carl's corner.
So as we watched Kevin Warsh do his press conference yesterday, he was asked a lot of pointed questions. A lot of where's your inflation numbers at? What's your biggest metric? He did answer the biggest metric. He said PCE is the biggest, which we knew, but it was a good thing that he was able to confirm that even with the new task forces and a new chair, that PCE is still the one that they utilize the most on. So that's fantastic. We're able to kind of keep an easier eye on that as opposed to any of their other metrics that they have. And it came through that there was no rate hike or cut in this past meeting. Now, there were, however, three dissenters. Now, I don't remember if any of the listeners remember last year we talked about dissenters because Jerome Powell only had one meeting with dissenters. Right, he made it 6 years of his career and only had one meeting with dissenters, and that was to make the interest rates go down. This one had dissenters with wanting the interest rates to go up. And this is, he's had now two meetings of dissenters. So there's a lot of friction happening inside of this committee, which is exactly kind of what you wanted to see. There's no one person running the entire show. They have actual minds and they're pitching ideas and solutions, which is exactly what we wanted to see. And what he said was no rate hike this time around, and more than likely no rate hike in September. Now, the probabilities are getting closer to 50-50 for September, but October, December is where we're looking to see the first rate hike. With that, it's going to be a small one, 25 basis points, probably at the max, just like we thought about the cuts were going to be until the oil situation occurred. And the main reason they're waiting is because of these inflation prints. If you remember last month, the inflation was very cooled down because we had a month of good oil flow again. Well, now the oil has been constricted again, and we're at the point of, okay, now we need another month or two of inflationary numbers to kind of give us a pointed answer to what the interest rates are going to do. But at this time, we're still looking October, December timeframe.
That's right. And before we hit record, we were talking about how there is a very real possibility that if there is some sort of, I hesitate to use the word resolution, but for lack of a better word, resolution in the tensions in the Middle East, if there is some sort of something other than what it is right now. To occur, then I think those probabilities of rate hikes could wildly shift. And so that's something that we're obviously going to keep an eye on
Absolutely.
and continue to talk about on the podcast. But it's also going to be a leading indicator for us as to how to adjust parts of the portfolio, components of the portfolio. So that's something that very much we are keeping an eye on. So obviously a busy week. All that being said, the indices are where we were last week. And so that's, I guess, all in all, a positive. It was an interesting press conference. I will say that there was times where I felt as though we it was almost reminiscent of Powell in the sense that it seemed like we got two different answers to the same question. And so that was kind of interesting. The idea of a task force, like we talked about before we hit record, that was a little bit interesting to me, because I, the way I looked at it was, you are the task. I think you're supposed to be the task force. So, and that'll be kind of interesting to see how that unfolds. But anyways, with all that being said, that's pretty much all I had. Carl, did you have anything else?
Just a reminder, this week is not over yet. We still have some big earnings coming today. We have Apple and Amazon after hours. So the volatility will continue through the rest of this week. So any listeners out there, just be aware of that. If you're looking at your accounts, looking at the market, there's going to be some extra volatility to end it. And then we should be able to have it subside going into next week. So just keep a watchful eye on that. But if any listener thinks someone might enjoy our market commentary, feel free to forward us on over to them. We're also on the iHeartRadio app and the Podbean radio app.
Awesome. Thank you for that. And with that, I guess we're going to go ahead and wish everybody a happy upcoming Friday and weekend. And we're also going to go ahead and look forward to doing this again next week.